Chris has COVID, he's doing great, he's selling fruit, he's still a little hoarse, he's not quite 100%, so he asked me to fill in this morning, and I'm honored to do so. It's good to be here with you this first day of this year. May the Lord bless you and keep you, may he make his face shine upon you, and give you peace, comfort to you. May things be well with you. May this year be a year of knowing the Father more than you've ever known him before. May this be the year that the questions in your heart of why he allowed certain things to happen subside in your heart and just trust him with the answer of one of these happen for another day. Because that day will come and you will know. That day will come and we won't see his part. We will see fully why things happen. And on that day when it comes, it may even come in this life and we can rest. Maybe that day will come even in this life that he will tell us why it happened and we'll go, I get it. But the day will come when we will know exactly. We won't see in part, we will see fully. And on that day when we see fully, we will not say to God, you really messed up. And we're not going to hear him say, yeah, I know, I got distracted and I didn't mean for that. But will you forgive me? God will never ask us for forgive him because he never makes mistakes. But I pray blessings on you that starting this year with loss, it's going to be okay. There's a line in the Chosen series. How many like the Chosen series? There's a line in season 3, 2, I think, when Jesus is talking to James about his not being healed and asking him to trust him and to live in light, to show others me in the midst of your misery and your hurt, to show others that you still love me in spite that I don't perform as you wish I would. It's a great moment. But I love what Jesus ended that conversation. If you remember, he looked at little James and he said, little James, you will be healed. And I love that. Good things are always ahead with him, even though at the moment they may not be so good. But hallelujah. Be blessed. I better get to my outline. I was talking to Kim this morning and said, Kim, as I keep dwelling on the things that God has given me and showing me, another truth comes, another revelation comes. And it's abiding in his presence is a wonderful thing. But I feel for those who never experienced it, who Jesus is just a historical figure, thinking that he's just another prophet, just another good guy with principles of life, and it'll go better for us if we just learn to live by those principles and be happy. Every other religion offers principles, but Christianity is different. It's not principle-based, it's relationship-based. Because the one who speaks and gave the principles is alive and well and lives with us. And that's huge. That's what we want to talk about, this thing about enjoying his presence. All that means. And pray for those who have never experienced it. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 15, if you will. I think we'll start there. As of 11 o'clock last night, that wasn't my starting place, but as of 7:30 this morning, it was my new starting place. Thank you, Jesus. John 15:15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus wants to be our friend. I looked up the word friend in Webster's 1828 dictionary. The most purest English dictionary out there, because it had to be polluted with secular thought because of who Noah Webster was. He says this about friend, the defining friend. One who is attached to another by affection. Isn't that wonderful? One who's attached, one who is connection. There's an affection, there's a love there that draws you close to each other. Jesus says, I am your friend because a friend lets you know everything that you need to know to have have the quality of life that you can have. I call you friend because I have not held back, but I reveal everything that the Father has given me to reveal to you. Like I said at the beginning, that doesn't mean that there's other things that we wish He would reveal, but He will reveal to us everything that we need to enjoy life to His glory. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this. It says that the secret things belong to the Lord, and He does keep secrets. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to you and to your children, that you may wholeheartedly follow the law, the things of God. Isn't that good? Instead of concentrating on what we do not know, we'll bring much more joy if we concentrate on what we do know and what He has yet revealed, and trust Him to reveal all that we need to know. A friend is one who is attached to another by affection. But look what it says a few verses. That's a sign of His friendship to us. But here's what He says is a sign that we want to be friends with Him. Look at 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. And that makes sense. I'm revealing everything to you. All the truth that the Father has given me, I have revealed it to you because I love you and I want you to walk in the truth that can be yours. I want that truth to transform you and to make you into someone who looks just like me. Hallelujah. And if you want that and you want to be my friend, respond to that. Don't reject that. Let's turn over a few more chapters, because somebody might be saying right now that it's hard. Sometimes I think we make it too hard to follow the things of God. I think we give in too quick. But I got some good news for you. In John chapter 17, it tells us the reward of revelation. It tells us what benefit we receive by receiving the things of God, the things that He wants to make known. Look at verse 25. John 17:25. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known. He's continuing. To this day, Jesus is continuing the ministry He started here on the earth for 3+ years. I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. The reward of knowing the Father is loving the Father, is receiving His love for you. The benefit revelation embraced brings the love of God into our heart. And if the love of God is in our heart, we respond to that love by how? Obeying His commands. Because love is powerful enough to motivate us. Am I communicating? When I don't need to have a bunch of principles, I don't need Kim to give me a list of things. Now, today I want you to be faithful to me. Today I want you to do this. And don't do this. As long as she knows I'm in love with her, I'll be drawn to her. And adultery has no opportunity. It's the love that she has for me and I for her that causes victory of that relationship. And it's no different with Christ. No different with the Father. Let's go back. Because there's also another benefit of this love relationship that God is inviting us to. Look at John 15, verse 9. Woo! Love it. As the Father has loved me, so do I love you. To the depth that the Father has for me, or the depth that my love is for you. It reminds me of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Paul is praying. I pray that you would know the depth, the height, the width, the length that God's love is for you, in order that you may be full of the full measure of God. Knowing how much He loves you causes you to be drawn into His presence and to have the full measure of Him. A sufficient measure that you, like it says in Titus 2:11, for grace has appeared to all men. Grace is the love of God, right? Unconditional, the influence of God on our heart. So we could just say that word. God's love has appeared to all men. And His love compels you to say no to sin. To live an upright life in this present age. Hallelujah. Grace is not just an attitude of God. It's an impartation of God that once experienced opens the door to unlimited ability to follow Him and to be like Him. To be in His presence. To live light in His presence. To overcome the flesh nature. To be able to overcome the ways of the world. To be able to overcome the prince of the power of the air, Satan. I just paraphrased Ephesians chapter 2. And Paul says, you're inspired by the Holy Spirit, Jesus. Paul goes on to say a verse that you do know, because you've heard it enough. For it is by grace you are saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. So what is salvation then? For by grace you are saved. Paul, what's saved? From what? From your sinful nature. From the ways of the world. And from sin. Hallelujah. What makes that possible is because of the love that He wants to impart into our hearts. Glory to His name. This salvation is meant to be a here and now experience. Turn, if you will. I have it written down, which I'm not going to turn to. You don't have to turn to. I'll just say it real quickly. Galatians 1, 4 through 5 talks about being rescued. I love it. Who gave? He's talking about Jesus. Who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. This is Galatians 1, starting in verse 4. He gave Himself to rescue us from this present evil age. Hallelujah. That's a here and now thing. We don't have to participate in the evil of our age because He's rescuing us from it. I love what getting back to the chosen. I love what Mary Magdalene said to Nicodemus. I think it was season 2 in there. And he's questioning her. Mary, how did this happen? You were demon possessed. I need to know, Mary. I need to know. Oh, that the world would come to the church like that and say, I need to know how you got free. I need to know how you got free. Why things are so different for you. And I love what she said. Let me get it right by looking at it. She said, Nicodemus, all I know is I was one way, and now I'm completely different. And the thing that happened in between was Him. Was Him. The principles of the law do not have the power to free us from sin. They just point it out to us and put it in our face. But the love of God in our heart does have the power to say no to sin. And if we're not saying no to sin, to the ways of the world, and to our sinful nature, then I propose to you that you start abiding more continually in His presence and let His presence deal with those things. That's why I think Paul, Galatians chapter 2, 12 says, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. A lot of Christians are saying, work out what? I walked the aisle, I said you're Lord of my life. Well, yeah, but did you really mean it? I don't see them see that. I believe in him with all my heart, and the Bible says I'll be saved. And if you ask them, well, what does salvation mean to you? It means I'm going. Hello, Jim, you're an elder of a church, you don't know that? That means I don't go to hell, I get to spend forever with him. That's a true statement, but that's not what the writers of the Bible in their time were focusing on when they talked about salvation. They were talking about being rescued from this evil generation. Even Peter in Acts chapter 2, 3 or 4, in there somewhere, read all of that to him. First time he brings up the word salvation, he says, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Am I right, Mark? Our resident Bible scholar here. Keep me straight now, okay, brother? I love that, brother. That brother is a blessing to Kent and I when one of our kids was struggling. He had the audacity to tell us we weren't being patient.
He told me that.
I didn't say that directly.
But you know why he could get away with that? Because I know that he was a friend. He had love in his heart for us. And he wasn't saying that to harm us, but to free us.
Amen.
So it is with Jesus. He's that kind of friend. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. A friend that loves at all times. Proverbs 17:17. I want that. And I have friends that are that close. All right, where was I? What was the last one? To rescue us. So he wants to rescue us from this evil generation. Look at Colossians. I'm going somewhere with this. We're getting close. What's the time? Okay. You know it's going to be fun? We can just go a little bit past 11 or in there and see all the people that forgot. Sorry. It'll be fun. Let's just stare. Welcome. At least they can have communion with us. Okay. Look at Colossians 1:21. You don't have to turn there. I've written it down here. We'll just go through it. For God was pleased for all this. Hold on. I'll just get the sake of time. Let's go a little farther in. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. What alienated you from God? What? Your evil behavior. You weren't like him. You didn't want to be like him. In fact, you despised him because he had the audacity to tell you that what you're doing is wrong. I think I can live and take care of my own life and determine what truth is for me. Ooh, God help us. You were alienated. Webster's 1828 dictionary says that is to withdraw the infection. All that affection that friendship is all about, to withdraw from it, to make indifferent or adverse when love and friendship before sustained you. To withdraw from the very thing. The beginning verses of this Colossians chapter 1 says, but we are reconciled to him through the cross. Romans 8, don't turn there. Let's just go to, I didn't even put the verse down. It's in chapter 8 in my notes. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile. God wants to give us a new mind, a new heart that's in love with him, that we can enjoy his presence to the degree that it transforms us and makes us more like him. For you live according to the sinful nature. If you live according to the sinful nature, this is all in Romans 8. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die by it, but by the Spirit, you need to put to death the misdeeds of the body. That evil nature, that evil tendencies, that evil behavior, the Holy Spirit can help us put it to death. And then it goes on to say, and we know we have that adoption. We know we've been brought into the family of God and have that connection because we say, help me with it, we say, Abba, Father. God is more than a big God that just created things and is indifferent to his universe and indifferent to his people. He wants to be daddy. In order for him to be daddy, we need to be what? A child. The child does not have the parent submit to him. The child submits to the parent. I didn't hear any amens from the young ones. Unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of God. So says Jesus in Mark 10, 15. God wants to reign in your life. So says Romans 5, 17. But he cannot reign if you want to reign and take his place. But if you let him reign and let him become a friend, he will continue to reveal the Father to you. As he continues to reveal the Father to you, you will fall deeper in love with him. And when you're deeper in love with him, you will abide and remain in him. You'll be walking continually in his presence. And John 15, we went short. The next verse says, I'm telling you this, Jesus is speaking, in order that your joy may be fully complete. Revelation about the Father brings a love for the Father. Embracing that the love of God has for you and the greatness of his love for you brings joy. Revelation brings love. Love brings joy. And now life is worth it. Because you have the means to overcome and the proper motivation to come. Woo, this isn't in my notes. I'm going to cut some things out and go right to this because it just came to mind. I trust it's Jesus. Three ways that can cause you to be obedient to Christ. Number one, the fear of God. Boo. I need to do what's right or there's going to be consequences. God can honor that. It's not necessarily evil, but that's right. I mean, having the fear of God is a good thing. I've heard someone translate the fear of God into taking God serious. The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. Let's translate that by the definition. Taking God serious is the beginning of all wisdom. Having that awe that God, hope. If you say it needs to be this way, and I know what I know about you, it needs to be this way. And who am I, the child, to tell you any different? And he goes, now you can enjoy my presence. You can enter into my presence because you're declaring that. Christianity is first and foremost about receiving his love and giving his love in return. Hallelujah. What breaks the stronghold of sin and self and living in the way the world does? What distinguishes us from all others? The answer is the same thing to all these, by the way. I'll give you a pop quiz and give you things. It's all the same answer. What breaks the strongholds of sin, self, living the way the world does? What distinguishes us from all others who do not have Jesus? What causes others to know that God is pleased with us so much that others will see Christ in us and want him too? The answer to all of this is his presence, his connection, our abiding with him, the transformed life. For those, this is in Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3, kind of seeing my eyes, 17, for where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And we behold him as seeing God through a mirror. It's not as clear as it will be someday, face to face. But as we behold him, we're being transformed into ever-increasing glory. As we're in his presence, as we're beholding him. Okay, I've been waiting to get to this one because this is the one I wanted to get to more than any of the others. Exodus 33, 15. The first time I believe, Mark can help me on this one. The first time I believe that his presence is mentioned in the Bible. That Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people?
That's us.
How will anyone know you're pleased with us? Unless you go with us. What, this is Moses speaking to the Lord, what else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? God wants us to be distinguished by being in his presence. By people knowing God's with them. If I want God, maybe I should get with them. And find out what all this is about. I love what it says. It just came, again, it's in Mark chapter, I don't know, it's in Acts chapter 4 or 5. When remember Peter and James and John, they were doing great and mighty things. And the Pharisees, Sadducees, I'm really paraphrasing this bad, they took note that they had been with Jesus. They didn't like what they were doing, but they knew there was something different about them, and that difference was Jesus. Do our friends, the people we work with, do our family, do our neighbors know that God is with us? That his presence is our highest priority in our life? That connection, that love connection, do they know? Can they know and see with even out you saying words by your behavior? Or do they see evil behavior just like them? Then could it possibly be that we're fooling ourselves, that we're not connected to him like we should? For even some that may be, they're even hostile to God because they're still walking so deep in the flesh that they think just by coming to church that, okay, I went, maybe I'll get some points. God doesn't respond to that. He responds to those who diligently seek him. And I love Moses is crying out to the Lord, don't let us go from here unless your presence, because it will distinguish us. And I love what's next. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked for, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. When someone says, I know you by name, it means we're connected. We know each other. I know you, Moses, and I love that you're asking this of me, and I will give it to you, because I do want you to be distinguished. Now, they, throughout their history, were having a problem with that, weren't they? Can I say the church is having the same problem? We have times when we're totally connected, and his presence is filling the house, and we have times when it's not. I'd like to see that ratio change. It pleases God when we desire to be in his presence. You know what that word presence means? If you look it up, it means face. Face to face. There's a connection. There's an abiding. It means that we see him and he sees us. You know, Kim comes to my office sometimes and she's wanting to talk to me. And I'm, yeah. You know what she says? Look at me. Look at me. Because she knows that I don't have her fullest attention. I say it right. Look at me. She knows that I don't, she doesn't have it. But when we look at each other like I'm looking at a drawer here, it's hard to be distracted when my focus is on her. Of the Lord. Face to face. Face to face is what the Lord's looking for. All right, we got to keep moving. How long have I been talking to him?
Wait, no.
Or some is just getting started. If you're used to 11, we've got to have a whole hour to go at least.
Okay. Let's get to the heart of this. Let's get to the heart of this. Just say this real quick.
What happens when we draw near? What happens in his presence? This came about because I was asking God the question. It was a morning about 2 months ago. Some of those came on Wednesday night and talked about some of these things. I asked the Lord, Lord, I know, I think I know, but help me articulate. How do we know that we're in your presence? What are the signs? What happens when we're in your presence? Came up with six things, and we're just going to rattle them off, and I'll let you study them later. Nothing else matters. Number one, when you're deep in His presence, the things that are very important to you, and that's number two, your possessions do not mean as much to you. Put those two together. So I think we overvalue things. Do you know how Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and 4, in there, read all of Philippians, you'll bump into it. He says he learned the secret of contentment. Then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't think that's the secret. Hal, we just got started. Come on in. Yeah, we just started a little earlier. Okay, sorry.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. You just forgot to start it again. But we've been waiting for you to do communion with you.
Exactly. So
the best for saving the best for the last. He said, I learned the secret of contentment. Then he said, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't think that was the secret of contentment. I think it's just, woohoo! I can do so much in light of, because I know the secret of contentment. It's chapter 3 that he says what the secret of contentment was. He talks about, I count everything as rubbish. Right? This is bringing things back familiar. Who I am, my status, I'm a Roman citizen, I've done this, yada yada, I've done this, woo, look at me. All of it's rubbish in comparison to the surpassing greatness of knowing my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Him and knowing He loves me and I love Him, and whatever happens, who cares about all that stuff I thought was important? We're in His presence, the reality. We mean that. Lord, you know, you can take the house if you want. But do we really want Him to take it? We were facing bankruptcy back in 2008. I want to cut real quick to the end of the story. And I was troubled. It led to anxiety. I thought we were going to have to go bankrupt. I'm an insurance agent. That's how I make my money. I write insurance for Progressive and Safeco and all these companies. I can't be bankrupt. It's a fresh start for some, but my credit score was plummeting. They're not going to let me write insurance for them if my credit score, if I can't handle money, they're not going to let me handle their money going through my hands. You hear me? So for me to go bankrupt means I probably will lose my business, not just the house. And it led to anxiety. Martin testified to this. It led to some anxiety and all that, and I was miserable for months. Now, I know that some people have anxiety and depression because it's a biological thing. I'm not talking to you. No shame on you. I understand there are different reasons people can have it. But one of the reasons that people can have anxiety is incorrect thinking. Bad thinking. And that was me, because it didn't run in my family. I worried myself to a place where my brain started to shut down. The stress of trying to figure it all out. Let's go to the end of the story. After several months, I finally just said, Lord, I had a moment. I'm tired of being angry with you. I'm tired of trying to figure this out. I just need you. And this time I need it, Lord. And you know what, Lord? You can have the house. You can have my business. What's important to me is not on the table to lose. You, my wife, my children. And I felt His presence come in. And I meant it. Does that make sense? The surpassing greatness of experiencing Him changed the atmosphere and gave me the ability to hold so tight to the things that shouldn't mean so much. What happens when we enter and we continue to be in His presence? Nothing else matters. Your possessions do not mean as much. You are overwhelmed with joy. We talked about that in John chapter 15. Sin does not have its attraction like it did before. Titus 2:11, we talked about that verse. Grace has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to sin. We have the strength and the capacity to say no to that which we could not say no to before because we're in love. When I don't travel much, but whenever I have an opportunity to have to spend the night in a hotel I remember former days when I could get in trouble with some of the things that were on TV. Not anymore. Because I say without fail every time I'm on the road, doesn't happen much, but I say, Lord, I love you. And I'm looking forward to proving it to you. And I'm asking you to abide in me in this room so Satan will not have an opportunity to bewitch you, to take advantage of you. Because opportunity is here. And then before I shut the door, I say, Satan, you are not allowed in this room. You know what his response is? His presence. You see me, Lord, and I see you. Elonai, Elroy, the God who sees me. Number five, we're almost done. Are you with me? Can I have 5 minutes? Do we have communion? No, 2 minutes. 1 minute. I appreciate you being here, and I know it's a beautiful day with family and friends. And, we see others differently. Just leave it at that. We see others differently than the Lord is present. We see people the way he sees them. That changes things. And number six, we're not easily distracted. We're not easily distracted because our focus is on him. I think the Lord, Satan, takes advantage of us by just distracting us all the time. You really need to do that. You really need to do this. You really deserve a game of golf. You really deserve this. None of these things are evil in and of themselves, but you see what's missing? We have 168 hours a week, and Satan wants us to take them all so we will not come into fellowship and into his presence and have victory over him, our sinful nature, and the ways of the world. But we're in his presence, we're not easily distracted. Let's have communion. Father, we just thank you for this word. We thank you that it's possible to live into your presence continually and enjoy the fruit of that presence. I pray, Lord, as a church, that we just can enter into that more and more. That the revelation of you would bring that love and bring that joy, and everything else is different. Help us how we communicate to one another. Help us to love. And to receive your love and to love in return, in Jesus' name. Lord, we know this communion is about a demonstration of your love for us. There's no greater love as this than a man who laid down his life for his friends. Lord, by us taking of your blood, we are saying thank you. And we're also saying we want to abide with you. We do want to take advantage of your death and burial and resurrection. By remembering the blood and remembering the body that was broken. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. So, go ahead, just come up our roads. But don't take the elements, we'll do it together at the end.
would ratify a covenant by a meal. They would break bread together. The breaking of bread says, this is one loaf. Part of it's in you, part of it's in me, and we're symbolizing that we want to be one. We want to enter into covenant together. Jesus wants to enter into covenant. We have. And this is a reminder of what that is. We're one with him because of his broken body. So for those of you who don't realize there's two cups, just take them apart. There'll be the cup with the bread in it. Let's take the bread first. Father, thank you for your bread. Thank you for your broken body. We don't take it lightly. Thank you that you want to be one with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I eagerly wanted to have this Passover meal with you because he wanted to eagerly get to the fourth cup. The fourth cup was the cup of redemption. He says, this is the cup. This is my blood shed for a new covenant given for you. And I'm thankful that we can enter into that new covenant where we have redemption, where we have rescue, where we have reconciliation. Three good R words to remember. All made possible because of the shed blood. Thank you, Father. I think the worship team is going to come up here real quickly. They have a blessing they want to sing over us. And then you'll be dismissed. God bless you.
Thank you. Just to take a moment. If you want to stand, you can. If you want to remain seated, just stand.
I'll be up here for a little while if somebody wants prayer or needs to talk.
Just want to sing this for you as a blessing. And I just want to close your eyes and just ask the Lord to just bless you with his presence. and our lives to you, and we say, yes, Lord, we want to abide. Teach us, show us what that looks like, Lord. Let us identify it in ourselves when it is there. Let us see it in others. And God, I pray that you would cause us to walk in the fullness of who you are, not so that we gain anything, Lord, but so that you get the glory. Lord, when you get the glory and your kingdom is advanced, we find ourselves in the best place of contentment. And so that's our heart desires, to bring you glory and to advance your kingdom by abiding in your presence. And we thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Go and be blessed. Happy New Year.